Hi, we are back with Channel 9 Live, and I have some special guests here all the way from Redmond, Washington, engineering the Azure portal, right? Could you tell me a little bit about what your role is at Microsoft and who you are?
Go ahead.
I'm Leon Welicki, and I'm a lead program manager for the portal framework.
Okay.
Basically, the core framework and the shell, kind of like the container for the portal.
Okay, great.
And I'm Chandrika Shankar-Narayan, and I'm also a lead program manager, owning a bunch of the experiences that the portal exposes across all the various domains like IaaS and websites and things like that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, I mean, I know I am a big user of the portal, the new preview portal. I love it. What are some of the new things that we have in the new portal? Like, what's the thinking there?
Actually, that's a great question. We just, yeah. I mean, yesterday we deployed an updated preview with a lot of usability feedback and improvements.
Yeah.
Just, you know, live. And we are really eager to get feedback from folks when they try it, because we think that we did a pretty good job at addressing some of the things that folks were telling us that were bothering them. And
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, so, like, I know there's can you maybe walk through, like, a little bit of what are some of the different things that are there? Like, I know there's a lot of new concepts on the way the UX framework works and how things look.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of these improvements are around helping you to get more focused and getting more things done. Yeah. Finding your stuff, getting an easier way of finding your stuff, getting more focused on the task at hand, uh-huh. and let you basically get things done more efficiently.
Okay.
So that would be kind of, in a nutshell, the essence and the spirit of these improvements.
Okay. So yeah, definitely, you know, we would love to hear from you. If there's things you would love to know about the new Azure portal, definitely submit your questions here to Channel 9 Live on the portal, and we'll have our experts here who our own aspects of the portal give you the answer. So yeah, I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft. Thank you. but anyway, so yeah, if you could, I would love to see it. So maybe if you want to, like, log in,
yeah, absolutely.
And so we can just get a feel for it. I mean, it's I think hard for some people maybe who have never seen it and to understand and what it looks like.
That's fantastic. And actually, I really love the fact that you were calling for feedback, because this is one thing that we are very eager for. I mean, we really, really, really appreciate feedback from customers, because we are building this for customers, right? And if we don't get to make something that customers love, that's a part of who we are.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically, this is the new portal. This is the updated preview. One of the things to notice also is that we added this new theme, that slider on the eye. First thing that you will see is that browse, that is one of the most used tools for finding your stuff. We added a section with recent resources. Mm-hmm. So basically, we keep track of everything that you use and make it available for you one click away.
Okay, that makes sense.
The next thing is also the next section with all the categories that you have in Browse is filtered by the things that you are allowed to use, that you have registered in your account, basically. Mm-hmm. Let me open one blade. And one of the things that you will notice as we are opening the blade is that the starboard went away. The starboard. So let me get one step back.
Oh, this, yeah, the starboard went away.
Yeah. It's a starboard or some folks. Yeah. And some folks call dashboard. It's a place that you can make yours. Mm-hmm. So basically, you can put things that give you access to resources or information that you care about very quickly.
So was that based on feedback that we had from people that when they want to go to somewhere, they don't want to see that start and want to have to shift over there to the right? Okay.
Exactly. Basically, before, the thing that was happening and that we got a lot of feedback about is that as you were navigating, there was a lot of UI moving around.
Yeah.
So basically, what we did is, like, we said, okay, let's put things in a predictable location. And if you want to interact with a resource, we'll just let you focus on that as you do it.
Okay.
So let me show you. Let's go back to that. So as I'm here,
okay,
I can focus now on my website. Interestingly also, as you do things with that website, UI doesn't shift either. So basically, your point of focus remains at a steady location.
That makes sense.
Another important thing, actually, that now that I kind of accidentally clicked this part, but it's a good one to call out. One of the things that people was telling us is that changing settings on resources wasn't very predictable, because every resource was doing it slightly differently. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of, I want to configure my website. How do I do it? It was one way. I want to configure my VM. How do I do it? It was different. Now we added a consistent location for the settings, like this part that you see over here. So when you go to a resource blade, like a website, a VM, or whatnot,
it's always in the same place.
Exactly.
Okay.
You have this place that will give you access to all the settings that you can set. So now, once you learn one, you know how to use all.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you threw out a terminology, a blade. So every time you click, that's what, a blade on the right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Blades, you know, you see how when we navigate, we got these vertical slices of the screen? Mm-hmm. Each one of those vertical slices is what we call a blade. And that's our basic unit of navigation. So mm-hmm. as you keep navigating, we open blades to the right. in a way that we form an infinite canvas. I mean, you can indefinitely keep opening and keep track of all your state, basically.
So what is this on the left? I know there's this thing, I think, you called journeys, right? What is that?
Oh, basically, the thing that we have at the left is what we call the jump bar. So basically, it's a navigation that we call an omnipresent navigation tool. But basically, it's a fancy way of saying it's always there.
Okay.
And basically, gives you access to a set of functionality, like getting back, switching back to home. Getting access to all the notifications that you have, all the things that we want you to know, like there's an alert or a long-running operation has completed or whatnot. Browse, that is how to get to your stuff. Yeah. Journeys, that are things that you already started, and billing information. So you can see, you know, billing info right away all the time. Actually, an interesting thing also, now as we were talking about.
So you can customize too, right? So
yes.
I mean, I know like we've had demos where in the past, like when we launched this at Build, right, is when we first had the new portal this year. So I know we had like this like office team. They used the dashboard, right, as their monitoring dashboard for their blog, right? So, I mean, that's kind of a new concept, right? Thinking, hey, wait, I can use Azure as like a dashboard for my maybe even ops team or something like that, right? So what does that look like? I mean, it's no longer, it seems like we've moved beyond the old portal where it's like, let's just look at stuff in our resources, you know, the resources we have in Azure, but kind of beyond that. What is that like?
Yeah.
Actually,
the current portal is all about managing resources. So it's sort of a resource-centric view. We've, based on all the feedback we've got from customers, they want to be able to look at entire applications or cross subscriptions and cross tenants. So that's what the new portal gives you. It gives you the ability to customize what you're looking at, whether you're looking at a single subscription, more than one subscription, cross-tenant view, a cross-resource view, or cross-application view. You can stitch and choose what you want to expose, customize your dashboard, and look at that when you want to monitor what you want to see. This is exactly what we demoed at Build, actually, when we customized that dashboard for Office.
Yeah, that's great.
And actually, you beat me to that, because I was about to try that. I was eager to show it. So maybe we can do it in like less than a minute. We can customize our starboard, and you can see how it looks like.
Yeah, sure.
So basically, the first thing that we can do here in the blade, some blades have this pin icon. That means when I click it, I pin it to the starboard.
Okay.
What that means is that now I made this resource available for me in the starboard, so I can get direct access every time that I come to the portal, no matter what I'm doing. Now, this treatment for pinning is not unique to the blades. You can do the same thing with the parts that are the boxes that you have here inside of the blade. So let's say that in this website, I really care about requests and errors. I can do right-click, pin it to the starboard. If I want to get my events, I can pin it to the starboard. Even better, I have analytics here that gives me a blade full of charts, and I can pin things that I like to the starboard from here as well, like this one. So now, if I go back to the starboard, you'll see that I added the direct access to my resource, but also information that I care about that I can get accessible right away. And the thing that I added is not just the information. I get this chart. Let's say that I want to drill to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. I can still click it and get the details. And even if I want to focus on this, I can get the entire screen for me and start focusing on that task that is important to me at this point. Another interesting thing is that I'm talking about customization. You would say, hey, half of the things that are in the starboard, I don't care about, right? The things that I added that are at the right, I have to scroll. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you could do is customize it further, take out the things.
Reorder and resize. Make it yours.
Make it
yours. That's what you're doing. You're making it yours right now.
I love that, yes. Yes, that's the thing. So basically, you know, I could move this here. I could put this here. Even, you know, some of the parts are adaptive in the sense that, you see, I have this map. It's taking a lot of space. I can make it smaller, and now I got an aggregation of all the events. Mm-hmm. Or even if I give it more space, it will still show a map.
Yeah.
So you see, at this point, what I can do is put the things the way I want to match the way I work.
Makes sense.
And now
is this something that want to have all resources perhaps inside of Azure be able to have that view? I mean, are we thinking about partners or other things like that?
Absolutely.
Well?
Yeah. So we are, for TechEd, we actually brought in a new capability, the Azure Marketplace. So if you recall, a couple of years ago, we introduced the Azure Store in the current portal, which brought in a bunch of third-party startups that wanted to expose their services that customers then wanted to use along with Azure resources. What we have done now with Azure Marketplace is we've worked with over 50 publishers and added over 75 items, which include all sorts of applications, services, multi-tier applications that can then be simply added to the marketplace by a third party and used by anybody that wants to use it in their application. And it's only a few clicks away from deploying that, selecting it, purchasing it, publishing it, and using it within your application. So if you actually click on the marketplace, that brings up a slew of services that we've added, slew of applications and services, all the way from working with startups to big enterprises, so that we can have customers, you, then use some of these applications and services with you, within your application. So if you actually navigate to, let me just show you one specific category of customers we've worked with. We worked with three big data vendors to enable the purchasing and provisioning of big data clusters, starting with Cloudera, which is an enterprise big data cluster. So the creation of a Cloudera cluster is really easy. We've simplified this to just a few clicks. So let me hit Create. And you'll see that this brings up your familiar Create Blade that's used to create websites, that's used to create SQL databases. It's exactly the same Create Blade. And all I have to do is specify four different fields. First thing, the container that I want to deploy this cluster to. Second thing is the cluster name itself. Of course, my username and SSH key. This is a Linux cluster. And of course, without having to do anything else, we've selected a bunch of defaults for the master nodes, for the worker nodes, storage, subscription, location, et cetera. Nothing needs to be done. All the user has to do is specify four fields and hit create. We also are clever about detecting how many cores you have. Do you have the capacity to deploy such a big cluster? It's 18 nodes we're deploying for you just with a single click by specifying four fields. And it takes just a few minutes to deploy the entire cluster and stand it up.
So yeah, so a lot of amazing capabilities from that gallery to deploy partner solutions.
Exactly.
I'm assuming there's like a visible visualization of their own service as well inside the portal, right? To make things accessible.
Absolutely,
to them.
Yeah. So when I deploy a Cloudera Enterprise mm-hmm. cluster, mm-hmm. it stands up a resource group that contains 19 or 18 resources. Mm-hmm. Now I can navigate to, as Leon showed you, a resource group blade that shows me all the 18 resources, and then I can drill into every individual resource, whether it's the virtual machine or a storage account, and bring up its own blade, a resource blade, just like Leon showed the website's blade. Manage every single infrastructure like I would manage my own. Okay.
So we have to take a step back here for 1 second, because you mentioned a very important concept called the resource group.
Yeah.
So some people may not realize what that is, because I know resource groups is not something that's in the old portal. So tell me about that. What is a resource group and what's behind that?
Yeah. So resource group is an application container. It's a management unit that allows you to deploy all of your constituent parts, resources that make up that application. You get to define what it is. We don't define what that is. So we provide you an easy way to actually define this as well. We have what we call Azure Resource Group templates. And these templates allow you to simply using JSON and just JSON editors available in Visual Studio to construct the composition of your resource group. What resources belong there? What's the relationship between those resources? What are the dependencies, et cetera? And by just simply defining that the mapping of your resources, you can deploy that template, and you have all of the constituent parts of your application contained within a resource group that's a single management unit. The lifecycle of all the resources contained in that resource group is managed by that resource group container.
Okay, so it looks like you kind of have that up here.
Yeah, that's what we have here. I have a small app that has a website, a storage account, and an App Insights account, basically.
Okay.
And what I can see is how those three things relate together, and mm-hmm. actually use it also as a navigational tool or whatnot. But most importantly, I can see billing information about the aggregated set of resources, and even events that have to do with the resource group or the resources.
So you can set, the monitoring, the alert rules, and the actions, that's on everything
Yes.
inside of there, not just one thing,
yes.
right?
So actually, let's
Just go for it.
While it's loading the events, what you're looking at is the container itself and the behavior of the container, the resource group itself. Mm-hmm. Now you can, what Leon just did is he clicked on the events that went into provisioning this resource group and any management action that was performed on this resource group. I can drill into individual events that were captured, and this is the benefit you get from the Azure Resource Manager, which backs the portal. That's the Unified Management API. I can click on an individual event and get details of what's going on with that particular event. There you go. So I can drill into it, find out if there is obviously a successful event, there's nothing to see. But if there's a failed event, that gives you the ability to debug what's going on with your resource group. Now, of course, if I go back to the resource group itself, as Leon pointed out, you have broken down costs per resource. But also, you can manage the resources inside the resource group exactly like you manage the resource group itself. So you have here a storage account, application insights, container, and a website. So if I drill into the website, this is what Leon was showing earlier, which is now the resource blade. Now, you'll see exactly the same characteristics. You have a resource map that shows you the parent resource group, all the related resources that are linked to it, its settings, its properties, obviously monitoring data, event data, usage data, alerts, as you mentioned, all of that for that resource. So the hierarchy is managed very carefully by us because of that containment relationship that we manage and the life cycle of that containment we manage.
Okay. So how do you decide what resources you add and what you don't, and you know, what can I add, delete things inside of there? What do you recommend?
Yeah. So as a customer, as an end user, you get to define what your application looks like, mm-hmm. right? And so we provide you a bunch of starter templates in the marketplace, as we showed, like Azure websites. We have starter templates, for example, WordPress. WordPress is a combination of a Azure website and a MySQL database. That's a pre-constructed template we provide for you. So when you deploy that, we deploy the set of resources in a single resource group, and that's the application you manage. You could choose to say, I have a website and a SQL database. I want to add a storage account to this resource group because my website is actually pushing some blob data to the blob storage. And you can add another resource. For example, this gives you the ability, if you go back to the resource group here, I can add a resource here. We're adding a lot of capabilities to add resources to resource group to manage the container as a whole.
Okay, that makes sense. So you mentioned something a couple times called deployment templates.
Yep.
Okay, so tell me more, like, how is that utilized in this new portal? So you couple key concepts, right? The fact that the portal is driven by Resource Manager and that you use these deployment templates. So
right.
Kind of two concepts. So
yep.
The first part, it's driven by Resource Manager. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the Azure Resource Manager is that unified management API mm-hmm. and the orchestration engine. So what that lets you do is, one, it lets different resource providers, such as different workloads, such as IaaS, SQL databases, websites, et cetera, provide their management endpoints and management contracts to expose their behaviors at runtime. Now, the Azure Resource Manager orchestration engine then, during provisioning, has the ability to say, I want to call SQL database, website, and provision them as a resource group. In order to build such a template, Azure Resource Manager provides a template infrastructure that allows users to say, I want to author a website and a SQL database together and manage their lifecycle as a whole.
Okay,
makes
cool.
Sense?
Okay, cool. So I know that sometimes when you click in the portal, you say, that's not available yet. So how does that relate to this model, right? So for instance, you know, like, the resource provider would be all the resources inside of Azure, right? So we know that you guys are working very fast-paced to bring new things on, but
yes.
Sometimes I know people click and they're like, wait, I can't see that yet.
Right.
So just a quick explanation of the
right.
connection point here, just
Got
so they
it.
Understand.
Got
yeah.
it. You'll see that the current management portal offers up a lot of workloads, a lot of resources, and management of those resources. Not all of those resources are still available in the new portal.
Okay.
So what we've done is to give users some directional information about this resource is not yet in the new portal, but you can go to the existing portal to manage that. So you'll see some what we call the blade infrastructure that provides a link into the current portal to say, you can go there to manage this resource. It's not yet there in the current portal, in the new portal. And that sort of directional information helps users understand this is coming just in a few weeks, months, et cetera.
OK, that makes sense. Yeah. So I guess maybe a pivot point on the pace of innovation that you're doing here in the portal. What, I mean, is it like every 6 months we got a new update, are we talking here? You know,
actually, we deploy new versions of the portal and of the experiences every 3 weeks.
Okay.
Every 3 weeks, there's a new version of the portal, a new update, and we are striving for a faster release cycle. That's one of the things that we are actively investing, and we are trying to get at. And one of the things that we aspire to is, for example, things that have to do with improving how you use the portal, things that make the overall experience better, is to have a very fast turnaround. So when users tell us something, report a bug or whatnot, we could make it available to them as fast as we can. That's kind of an aspirational thing, but it's one thing that we're investing quite heavily on. So
that makes sense. So I mean, the updates to the UX framework are happening very quickly, as well as, you know, more and more resource providers are all coming in.
Absolutely.
I'm assuming the goal is eventually the preview will become the new portal, right?
Absolutely. At some point. Yeah. Absolutely. The critical mass will be achieved when we move the bulk of the experiences that are in the current portal into the new portal, and the framework is ready to onboard more and more partners, whether it's first party or third party. In fact, we at TechEd we demoed a third party partner, New Relic, that was onboarded onto the framework SDK and fully built into a New Relic extension that provided management capabilities just like you would Azure websites or SQL databases.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yep.
I want to kind of snap back to that second question that I had earlier on deployment templates. What does that now enable, like, for folks to be able to do? So, you know, when I do a deployment of, let's say, a gallery image, how does that work, and can people customize that? What happens there?
Today, we provide a lot of out-of-box templates in the gallery or the marketplace. So one-click deployment of that template allows you to orchestrate the template is defined to, you know, specify what resources exist, who talks to who, and in what order. The Azure Resource Manager essentially goes off and orchestrates the deployment and provisioning of that template and purchasing as well, because we also talk to the commerce backend. Now, in the future, we want to be able to give users the ability to define their own templates and put that in the gallery. Imagine that you have the notion of, you know, my gallery, if you will, and you define your custom templates for the benefit of your organization, and you could take the out-of-box templates we provide, customize it, and suit it to your own needs, do source control on those templates yourself, and add to that repository of templates for your organization.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so to clarify, too, for folks, I mean, the deployment templates that are there for virtual machines today, you can't customize.
That's right.
But you can, if you're provisioning other resources, such as websites, SQL, Azure databases, you can go in there and do customizations and do a deployment, right? So
absolutely.
You've got a full, you know, customization there anyway.
Yes.
So what are some of the things that, you know, we're thinking about kind of moving forward, and where do we kind of see, you know, things moving?
One of the things that, first of all, we are trying to make sure that we get the right experience, an experience that users love, and that's why it's so important to us that now you try this updated, I know, customers try this updated preview and tell us what they think. And we'd like to make the portal space that is truly yours. So as a user, when you use the portal, you can match the portal, you can make it match the way in which you work and be very effective at achieving your workloads. And not only a place where you go and do maybe one management task, but you can get full end-to-end workloads across different Microsoft products. You know, reducing the friction needed, you know, sometimes you might need to use more than one thing to get one task done.
Okay.
We'd like the portal to be that place where you can do all of them in a way that you can tell the difference between products. You have a unified, very simple, consistent experience that puts your work, your goals, at the forefront.
Okay. So I know that we have different things like that kind of today, right? I mean, you see like, you know, application insights and Visual Studio Online. Like, that's different, right? I mean,
right.
That's not just Azure anymore.
Right.
So can you maybe talk to that a little bit on what that end-to-end experience is like, so then people can get maybe the idea of what are some of the other things that they might think of that light up.
The thing that we see here is kind of, in a way, a glimpse of that, right? Because right now I was using, as I was showing, how can I customize the board and how can I make it more effective? Mm-hmm. Because I was putting on the role of kind of a DevOps, someone that has to operate a website that he owns. See, I had all these analytics that I could go and choose from and pin to my starboard. These two things that you see here, one is the website blade, the other one is the application insights blade. You don't get to see the difference between both. Basically, you see what's useful to me. I mean, I would like to get this metric, I would like to get this, I would like to get that. I'm not thinking about what product I'm using, right? In this case, when I'm going through this flow. So that's an example of, again, it's a glimpse of this thing that I was mentioning, but I think it illustrates a point in a way.
One thing we're trying to do is to cater to not just the IT pro persona, which the current management portal does, but to dev and DevOps. You mentioned VSO. So we have a full immersive code editing experience for VSO where you can actually do your build your code, deploy your code from whichever source code control system you're using, and manage your work items, et cetera, right? We're bringing these kinds of capabilities, like query editing for SQL, for example, full immersive experience, those kinds of things, to cater to different personas. The one idea is that potentially there are users that use multiple different workloads in Azure, and we need to cater to them, whether they're in an immersive experience doing code editing or query editing or doing some management stuff. But then there are also experiences like IW, Information Worker. We need to bring a whole bunch of Azure Active Directory experiences into the new portal. We already have that in the current portal, right? So bringing some of the IW experiences, giving them an entirely different face, if you will, not an IT pro face, but an IW face, to be able to manage their applications is another aspect of the portal as well that we're exploring and thinking of bringing forward as well.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
And to that point, one of the things that you could see here, I was on my website. I had a continuous deployment set up. Mm-hmm. So from the deployment, I could trace the actual check-in, and I could see the changes on the file, getting the full diff of what I just changed.
So that is that's I believe what we called, I don't know if we call that still, but Monaco, right?
Yeah,
the code editor. So you can edit code right inside of the portal.
There. Right now I cannot edit code inside of the portal. I cannot edit code here, but that's one thing that we plan to enable.
And
at least in this flow. One thing to show you also again, as I was telling, we want to put your work at the forefront and enable it to be successful. In this case, for example, that I'm looking at code, if you'd want to, you could focus on that task as well. Which is one of the things that we hear a lot from customers, right? They want to do one thing and focus on that. So,
again. What's the best way for folks to be able to provide feedback as they start trying this thing out and using it? How do you gain that feedback and how do you collect that as a team to understand what to do next? Yeah.
We have a few channels for collecting that feedback. Uh-huh. One of them that is accessible to everyone using the portal is the feedback part that is here on the starboard, and it's also accessible through here as well, get feedback.
Okay.
And it's also accessible through this blade as well. Well, doesn't matter.
When it loads.
Let's stay with this one. But basically, the idea is that takes you to our user voice forum, where you can propose ideas, or you can vote somebody else's ideas. And that forum is one thing that we look every day. So it's not that you put your ideas in a place that nobody's going to look at, and it's like a,
We also have MSDN forums, as usual, where all of the Azure workload feedback from customers are tracked. Portal feedback is tracked there as well, and we have a lot of active customers giving us feedback there too.
Okay, so you've got this a number of places inside the portal that goes to the user voice, right? That you use, which is not a Microsoft product. So how does that work? You pull that in and
we pull that in. Yeah,
okay.
Actually, another channel that I'd like to open here is that if you have any feedback, feel free to write either to me or Chandrika directly. I mean, I'd love to hear from customers. Every time that I hear from a customer, it's one thing that it's an event that we take it very gladly. And again, if I don't know how to help that customer, I will connect him with the right person. But I'd love to hear feedback directly from folks as well.
Okay.
I think user voice, though, gives you the ability of proposing features and voting for somebody else's. So sometimes feedback from one person might be an isolated thing, but the power of, you know, kind of like the crowd, like something that has a lot of votes, might be more likely to get addressed earlier.
Yeah.
So both channels are fine and are not mutually exclusive.
One thing I want to add is data-driven development is the mantra in our team.
Okay.
So we look for data from customers, internal partners, internal users, anybody that has anything to do with using the portal, we want to hear from them. So we take data-driven development very seriously in our group.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, when you're doing things on a fast cadence, you're shipping every 3 weeks, possibly faster in the future.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a live feedback. So, I mean, that's a call out to all of you that are out here today. You know, definitely check out the new portal and make sure that you are putting your feedback in if you have feedback. So, thank you all for watching this session, and thank you both for coming on board here.
Thank you for having us.
All right, we will be back with the live stream, so just hang tight.